Let's go to the word of God. I had a different message which I planned for this evening, but as I was in the shower, God always speaks to me when I'm in the shower. Well, most of the time. As I was in the shower this afternoon, having a good hot shower in rainy British summer. It's amazing how the weather can change here. You can have all four seasons at the same day. It's incredible. One more joke I heard from England. I came to England in 1993. So one of my teachers, dean of students, he was, you know, from somewhere in Yorkshire. He said, "Biju, you're from England, from India. You need to get educated about England." I said, "Yes, sir." "Do you know what is a British national costume?" I said, "Tuxedo, suit." He said, "No, it's a raincoat." There you go. John chapter 14, verse 19. John 14, verse 19. "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me." Listen to this. This is the main thing I want to share. "Because I live, you will live also." It's a very familiar passage for us. If you look at the Gospel of John, Jesus stopped his public ministry by the end of John chapter 12. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. John 14, 13 to 16, he spoke only to his disciples. Chapter 17 is an intercessory prayer, the powerful prayer that he made to the Father for his believers and also for all of us. Then from 18 onwards, it's his betrayal, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, ascension, all those things. So from 13 onwards, it's very, very important. He's sharing some very powerful things, not to the public, only to his disciples. So John chapter 13 starts by Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, which is a radical thing. That kind of thing never happens. I come from India, where there are a lot of gurus or swamis or leaders, religious leaders. So they all have disciples, and their disciples, it's very common for the disciples to wash the feet of the master, because it's a sign of honor. It's a sign of saying, "You are better than me. You are higher than me. You are more valuable than me. I value you." So, and at that time it was the same. So normally the slaves used to wash the feet. The one who is the lowest or the least washes the feet of other people. So they all came in. And Jesus, who is a master, who is a teacher, who is the most honorable one, he gets up from his seat. He takes out his outer clothing, becomes vulnerable. Outer clothing, coat, talks about position, talks about dignity, talks about authority. He took all that away. He put a towel on, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. That shook them. That is what ministry is all about. It's funny, when Jesus was being crucified, the soldiers were casting lots for the coat that he took out. But nobody went after the towel. Even today in ministry, a lot of people want the coat. When people come to serve, when people come to want to get involved, everybody is asking, "What kind of coat do I get? What's my title? What's my position?" Christian ministry is not about the coat. It's about the towel. I believe we should be casting lots for the towel. We should be going after the towel, because that is what really empowers us to go all the way and to serve people. Now, when he was washing the feet of the disciples, in the beginning there was a lot of resistance. Peter said, "No, you can't do that," and we know that. He insisted, and Peter gave up, and he began to wash their feet. And they were very emotional. I'm sure some of them were in tears. They just could not handle it. It was awkward. You know, Jesus washing their feet. I'm not comfortable. You know, it really shook them. Okay. It was a very tender moment. They were all very tender. What does that happen? Straight after that, he makes an announcement. "One of you is going to betray me." They were already shaken. And there he drops the next bomb. They were all looking around, like, I can imagine, looking at each other. Who's going to be? Like, Peter is thinking, "Why are you looking at me like that, man?" And John thinking, "Stop looking at me." And they were all like, who is it, Lord? And they asked John, because he was closest to Jesus. Peter says, come on, John, just ask him. Get this awkwardness out of the way. And John says, Lord, who is it? And Jesus said, the one who is dipping the bread right now, and it was Judas. He got up and left. After some time, you know. And so when they heard this, they were like, man, like Judas, you were one among us. So what's happening here? How do you even trust everybody? So they were like shocked. And then he carries on, talks about things. And when it comes to John chapter 13, verse 33, he said that he drops the next bomb. He says, I won't be with you for too long. I'm going to leave you and go. Where I'm going, you can't come. Man. Again, they were shaken. Lord, they must have been thinking, we left everything and followed you. We left our boats, our nets, our business, our family, everything. And you paid a price to follow you. We had great expectations coming after you. And now you're saying that you're going to leave us and go. And where you're going, we cannot come. What's going on here? And then Peter makes a powerful statement. Lord, you know, I'm going to go with you wherever you go, even if I have to die for you. Wow. All the other guys are like, let me take some notes here. Peter's getting some revelation again. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, you want to die for me? Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Man, the next bomb. That boat was rocking. That boat of Jesus and the disciples really rocked. They did not know what to do. They did not know what to say. And Jesus did that very intentionally. You know, because he was about to teach them the most powerful thing ever. You know, sometimes God, when God is about to take you, when God wants to tell you something very powerful, very significant, just before that, he really shakes you up. He allows you to go through a season where you are emotionally tender, where your faith is shaken, where you're kind of all over the place, you don't know what's going on, so that he can really, really get your attention. Because what he's about to tell you is going to change your life. For you to really get what he's about to tell you, he needs to take you through that season. So if some of you are going through that season, just get ready. He's about to tell you something powerful. He's about to teach you something that's going to impact you so powerfully and change your life forever. Now, John chapter 14, he changes the tone. He begins by saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in my Father. Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'll come and take you. You can come where I'm going. And then, amen, Thomas says, Lord, we don't even know the way where you're going. Then how are we going to come to where you are? Thomas ended up coming to India. He was the apostle who came to India. Praise God. Now, then he says, he makes that powerful statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Philip comes up and puts his hand up. Say, I got something to say. Like, show us the Father. Okay, you're going to go? Fine, just go. But show us the Father. That'll be enough. And then he says, Philip, what are you talking about? Show us the Father. Haven't you seen me? Haven't you known me? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he says, all the words that I have spoken, it was not me who spoke. It was the Father speaking through me. All the works that I've been doing, it was not me doing. It was the Father working through me. So basically, what he is saying is this. Everything that you heard me say, all the incredible words of wisdom, all the powerful teaching, life-changing messages, everything that you've seen me do, all the miracles, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, the dead rising, everything, it was the Father accomplishing his purposes through me. What does that mean? He's saying, I just live a life of total surrender to the Father. All that you've seen, in and through me. That happened because it wasn't me. It was Father doing what he wanted to do. It was the Father saying what he wanted to say. I only said what the Father wanted me to say. I only did what the Father wanted me to do. In a sense, my life in this world, the power of my life, the success of my life, you know, the authority that I exercised was the Father's authority, the Father's power, the Father's wisdom, the Father's love, the Father's grace, compassion flowing through me because I totally yielded myself to him. Does that make sense? Now, every miracle, you need to understand, every miracle that Jesus did in this world, while he did not do it as God, he did it as a man. Right? Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. You know, otherwise they would not be, oh, he did it because he was God. No, he did it as a man. That is why we can live the life that he lived in this world today. That is why we have hope. That is why we know that miracles can happen through us as well. No, so he purposefully did it. But as a man, as a human being, like you and me, how did he live such a powerful, dynamic life? He was able to live that life because he lived a life of total obedience, complete surrender, complete yielded to the will of the Father. Amen. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Your authority over the enemy is directly proportionate to the level of your surrender. The more you surrender, the more his authority is exercised, flows through you and me. Now, I'm just running through it quickly. I took months in our church to teach through this series. I'm going to put it in 30 minutes. Now, then he's coming forward. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Okay? What he's saying is, you know, me obeying the Father was because of a love relationship between you and him and me. In the same way, if you and me, out of your love for me, you live a life of obedience to me, surrender to me. Because he's about to teach them how their lives can be powerful, how their lives can be just dynamic. And then he says, it's for your good that I'm going away, because when I go to the Father, I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. So he taught them about the Father. Now he is transitioning. So he talked about the dynamic of his life because he was totally yielded to the Father. Then he's about to teach the disciples how their lives can be dynamic through them acknowledging and recognizing and yielding to the Holy Spirit who's going to live inside them. He says, in the same way, so he says, I will send you another comforter. The word another in the Greek is the word halos. Two words for the word another in Greek, heteros and halos. Heteros means another of a different kind. I could take this chair and give you a couch, you know, another chair. That is heteros. I'll take this chair and give you another chair. That doesn't mean it could be any other chair. But halos means another of the same kind. That's what is used there. He says, when I go, I will send you another comforter. That means he's exactly like me. He's no different to me. He has got the same power, same love, same compassion, everything as me. And then he's going a step further and he's saying, the world does not know him. They don't see him. But you know him. You know him. Because he is, in present tense, he is with you. How was the Holy Spirit with them at that time? Because Jesus was with them. He could only be with them because he was in a physical body. You know him. You know the Holy Spirit because he is with you. But will be, in future tense, will be in you. Wow, powerful. Amen. Then he builds up to the passage where we read. And he said, in a little while, you will not see me anymore. But because I live, you also will live. Amen. That means you are going to live the same kind of life that I live. Because I live, you also will live. That means you will live the life I am living. If you live a life of total yielded, total yielding and surrender to me through surrendering to the Holy Spirit who is living inside of you. Amen. I know that I've just done a lot, condensed a lot quickly. Now this is what Christian life is all about. When we were moving to Mumbai, when the Lord spoke to us to move to Mumbai, I asked the Lord, God, what am I going to do there? City of 23 million people. 8 million people live in the slums. Over 300,000 kids live on the streets. The underworld, mafia, you know, gang wars. What difference am I going to make? Such influential people in that city, so intimidating. The capital of the entertainment industry, the Bollywood is there. Superstars living there. Financial capital of India on the other hand side. Some of the richest people in the world live there. Some of the poorest people in the world live there. Such city of such complexity, what am I going to do there? And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's not about you. Mumbai does not need you. Mumbai needs me. Your effectiveness in Mumbai, your effectiveness of your life, your ministry in Mumbai, in India, wherever you go, is all about you acknowledging and recognizing my presence in you and yielding to my presence on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis so that I can do what I want to do through you. That's what Christian life is all about. Christian life is not about us trying to live for God. It's all about the resurrected Jesus living out his resurrection life in and through you and me. Amen. It's all about you and me surrendering ourselves completely to him and allowing us to be his hands and feet. That's why the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The original translation says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's using the analogy of a drunkard. Do not get drunk with wine because it leads to debauchery. But instead, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, just like a drunkard, an alcoholic is completely addicted. He's completely dependent upon intoxication, on alcohol. In the same way, you live a life of total dependency on the Holy Spirit who is living inside of you. Amen. Have you ever heard an alcoholic saying, these days I don't get time to drink? Never. He doesn't even have to be consciously thinking about it. He's there. He's dependent. I've seen people, alcoholics, running to the liquor shop 6 o'clock in the morning instead of going for the coffee machine. They're running for the bottle. Hands shivering. I used to live in Goa where, you know, alcohol is tax-free everywhere. Every street full of, you know. So people have hands shivering. The shivering won't stop until they have a drink. You know, early morning, 6 o'clock, brandy. Can you imagine? Dry. After that, shivering stops. Now, that is dependency on alcohol. But the Lord says, be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit every day, every moment. If you can just come to a place of total dependency on the Holy Spirit. That's why in the next chapter, in John chapter 15, Jesus is teaching them that principle through the analogy of the vine and the branches. The branches are the ones that is bearing the fruit. But the branches have no capacity on their own to produce fruit. But if the branch can just remain in the vine and constantly draw the life from the vine, totally dependent on the vine, life and the essence that flows from the vine, fruit bearing is a byproduct. Fruit bearing just automatically happens. God wants your life to bear fruit. But the way to bear fruit is not trying to bear fruit. The only way to bear fruit is to live a life of total dependency of the Holy Spirit. The more you are dependent, the more you come to a place where you have come to an end of yourself. God, I can't do it on my own. Now, I could not even pray properly in our family prayer. I used to stammer for words every day. It's a 2-minute prayer in the front of my parents, my sisters and brother. Every single day, when it came to my turn, my heart used to go boom, 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 boom. I had to pray. I stumbled through that 2-minute prayer. When God called me to serve him, I said, God, what am I going to do? I can't even pray in our family. How am I going to preach? How am I going to talk to people? What? I can't do this. And the Holy Spirit told me, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about your ability. It's about your dependability on the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you can live a life of total dependence on the Holy Spirit, he will take you to places you have never been. Amen. When you are living a life filled by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit simply means being totally dependent. You know, I'll just run through a few things, a few scriptures. There's no time to read. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, but led by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God wants to lead you. God wants to speak to you. You know, every step of your life, every area of your life, he wants to lead you from within. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the Bible says, your ears will hear the voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, I guide you in the way of wisdom. I lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Friends, you don't have to be confused. You don't have to live, you know, in the dark. God living inside of you, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, is able to lead you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to speak to you. He's constantly speaking to you. The more you yield to him, the more you will hear him. Amen. When you hear him, your life, he will make your path straight. Amen. God doesn't want you to live in failure. He wants you to walk on straight paths, on firm paths. He wants you to hear him speak to you every day. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. It's a powerful gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have still not got the gift of speaking in tongues, ask him. It's the best thing ever. Prayer language. So many times I don't know how to pray. I just pray in tongues. So confused. You don't even know what to pray. But the Bible says, he who prays in tongues edifies himself. He does not talk to man, he talks to God. God has given you a language. In India, we have 1,652 different languages. But if you want to speak one of them, you have to learn them. You know, I can speak about four. That's about it. But there is a language I can speak without learning. It was gifted to me. It can be gifted to you. If you are gifted, just speak it. When you speak in tongues, your inner man is strengthened, edified, built up. You know, you receive power from the inside. Your inner faculties are strengthened. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God with boldness. That means you will speak what God speaks. That is the word of God, right? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your words will be God's words. You will not speak what you see. You will declare the truth of God. You will declare over your life. You will declare over your family, over your marriage, over your circumstance, what God says, what God speaks. David said, with my lips, I will recount every words of your mouth. Amen. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to hear what he says. And no matter what the stock market says, no matter what the doctor's report says, no matter what other people speak over your life, you will with your mouth boldly declare the word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. It talks about Stephen. The Bible says, Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be an upward-looking person. You know, when you look, if you look down, you will see the dust. If you look up, you will see the stars. I believe that means you will be a positive person. You will see the best in every situation. You will see the best in people. You know, in the midst of darkness, you can see a ray of hope. In the midst of difficulty, you will be able to have fun. You know, Christianity is not about not having problems. Christianity is the ability to rejoice in the midst of problems. in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of persecution. I can tell you story after stories of you know, how God, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, enabled us to just laugh through difficulties, laugh through persecution, laugh through situations where we have been stoned, where we've been beaten up, where shirts were torn. You know, the joy of the Lord. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will look up to heaven. When Stephen looked up to heaven, he was surrounded by a group of people who wanted to kill him. He was surrounded by negativity. But when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven. He did not hear the sound of people who were about to kill him. He saw an open heaven. Amen. He saw Jesus standing up on the right hand of the Father. Normally Jesus is seated, but on that day he saw Jesus standing up on the right hand of the Father. I believe he heard the applaud of heaven. Amen. Friend, I don't know what you're going through right now, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, instead of seeing your problems, instead of seeing negativity, instead of seeing, you know, hearing the words that pulls you down, you will see an open heaven above you. You will see a Jesus who stands up for you. You will hear the applaud of the heaven behind you. That is the power of your life. That is the strength of your life. I want to encourage you, be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can live the life that Jesus lived in this way, in this world. That is the life that God has for you.